not gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tool time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where are the bum thugs in? Are they in harmony?
Hey everybody, welcome. This sounds so deliciously sweet and silent. If you've noticed an improvement in the audio quality in the last, not even several seconds, but in the last seconds, thank listeners Ian and Jen, who for my birthday got me a new recorder. I had come to suspect that my recorder was adding a little bit of extra, just a little extra salt to the recording, by which I guess I mean noise that I didn't want there, which is weird because I guess that's the opposite of what salt does in most situations, right? Where you're like, oh yeah, this salt has made things delicious. This salt had made things dislicious. So there's some catching up to do here, I suppose. And I decided to go with this method. I've got this to-do list method, which sounds like a bunch of bullshit. But I recommend you try it, because here's what it is. It's basically some lady invented this, like, way back in the day. And it sounds super simple. You basically have a list of everything that you need to do. And then what you do is you pick five things. Because realistically, five is the amount you can get done in a day. You then prioritize those things, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and do them in that order. And you work on number one until number one's done, number two, and so on and so forth. You take that number two until that number two is complete. What I like about this system is I think that here's why I was resistant to it. I was like, five things is not very many things in a day. But then if you start doing it, you start to realize, like, Jesus, nobody accomplishes five things in a day. Like, you don't actually finish five things. You just do, like, two, and then you call it good. So I started doing that and started thinking, maybe that's what I should do for this radio show. Do my five things and go through them in order, and then that's the end of the show. So that's what I did. I don't know why I thought that would be entertaining to hear about. That is like some serious fucking inside baseball. This intro brought to you by stuff I normally save for the bonus podcast you get for donating money. Because obviously I care deeply. Anyway, thank you very much for the recorder. I hope it will make things better. I think it'll make things sound a lot better. And it'll save me a lot of post-production efforts. Because I was wasting a lot of time on that bullshit. So let's start with the drive. As you know, if you've been keeping up, Moonmaster Flex and I drove from Greeley, Colorado to Beaverton, Oregon. Now, this is a drive that, depending on the time and whatnot, well, Google will tell you is somewhere between 18 and 20 hours. Which I, you know, being the person I am. All right, here's something I need to tell you all. I am somebody who gets in the car, and I think my upper limit is about 5 hours before I start being like, this is a bunch of bullshit. So this was, you know, conservatively speaking, four or five times my limit, according to my calculations here. It way over the line is what I'm getting at. Way, way over the line. So I knew it was going to be tough. But here's the other thing. Here's something I recommend. Bring a kitty inside a tiny little box who's like yowling for the first hour or so and then is quiet because you can't tell if it's because she's resigned to her fate. You know, sort of like a genocidal victim that's packed into a train and it's just like, well, yelling's not going to get me anywhere. Or just out of energy, just exhausted herself and she cannot yell anymore, but would if she could. It makes you feel a little bit shittier about feeling shitty about it. You know, when I'm bored 5 hours in, I'm like, well, I guess I'm not living in abject terror with no idea what's going on, confined to a box slightly larger than my own body. So that's something. I mean, I'm not a huge believer, as you know, in general, of the principle where it's like, well, this person has it worse, therefore I don't have it bad. Because I'm like, oh no, more than one person can have it quite bad. Really, it's not like, okay, well, whoever has it the worst is the only person who has it bad. Oh, we all have it bad. It sucks for everyone. That's the thing. I think some people are into this like contest of who's got the worst, or like who's got the worst setup. And I can't look at this person with this terrible setup and then feel better. And usually I feel like, yeah, I can. You know what? I'm just a creative individual that way. I can really, really understand someone else's pain and still feel like, still want to not be in pain myself. How about that? You know, like, we've had frequent talks about my butt on this show, my butt issues that have been ongoing for like 3 years. And, you know, I'll hear about somebody who's got some like actual disease, you know, you got like a cancer or something, right? And I'm like, oh, that's a lot worse. That is a lot worse. Doesn't make me, you know, stand up and be like, you know what? I got it pretty good. More on that later, so get excited. So, but in this case, it helped a little, I think, just because I felt, you know, the cat has no agency in this situation, right? It doesn't know what's going on. It's sort of like, I'm not someone who says things like, I wish cats could talk, you know? But I do wish sometimes you could just sort of make them understand, like, all right, you're going to have a real shitty day here, and that's just what it's going to be, but you'll be fine. Like, everything's going to be all right. So we start driving. We left it, you know, we got up at 5 and I think left at 5:45, something like that. And then we were driving. Now, this drive, right, so it says like 17 to 20 hours, which I was like, I'm going to assume it's 20 hours then. Because that way, if we arrive in 19 hours, I'll be like, all right, we cut an hour off. But if we arrive in, you know, 20, I'll be fine. If I was like, let's get that 17, I'd be like, ah, fuck, you know, this is going to be terrible. Cassie drove the first leg, like probably 6 or 7 hours. I mean, we were somewhere in Utah, I think, when we switched drivers. Then I drove the second leg, and then she drove a third leg. So the first leg was pretty uneventful, especially for me, because I was trying to sleep. I can't sleep in the car for shit. And I don't know if anyone else can, but I cannot. And I've considered before, like, going on a drive. All right, like, we'd go rafting. That's like a 7-hour drive. And I've considered deeply before, like, maybe I should get stoned or something before we go. Like, maybe I should just alter myself. Maybe I'd be able to sleep. Maybe, who knows? But then I think, what if it's horrible and that just makes it seem 5 times as long? You know what I mean? What if it seems like a million hours because I'm stoned and not perceiving? That would be way worse. So what I decided, and you know, I was like, yeah, obviously I can't do that this time, right? But I was like, what? I mean, is there something else I could take? I was Googling, this is how desperate I got because I knew I was going to hate this. I was like Googling ways to kill time on a super long drive, which, by the way, everyone's an idiot. They're like, get an audiobook. And I'm like, no fucking shit, get an audiobook. Good one. Oh, I'd never thought of that before. Of course you'd thought of that before. I was hoping to hear some idea like, I don't know, just listen to all of Bruce Springsteen's albums. Because it's like, listen, you know you're not as familiar with The Boss as you may want to be. How will you really know unless you listen to all of them straight through? But nothing like that. There was nothing. I need to write this for people because Jesus Christ, it's terrible. I remember one time I was driving. Now, here's another thing is like when I'm driving by myself, it's a little easier because I can entertain myself really well. And I'm also not worried about myself being like bored and tired. But when I'm with someone else, it's like I feel guilty about like I couldn't just read or something. Or, you know, I don't want to if I don't want to listen to the same things, it's like, That sucks. One time when I was driving like 8 hours by myself, I just remember I made this massive playlist of songs that I either was like, oh, I would probably just try and sing this song if I was on a super long drive with no one around. So that killed some time, let me tell you. What sucked though is it's like, I don't know how many songs are on it, like a couple hundred or whatever. And I'm driving and I'm like, all right, by the time you hit the end of this playlist, you should be home. You should be home before you get there, right? But you'd look and you'd be like, eh, it's been 10 fucking songs. This is the longest day of my life. But this wasn't too bad. You know, I slept the first part, and then I brought a Nintendo 3DS, and I got a couple games. I got a Mario Maker game, right? Because I figured, this is cool. Like, while she's driving, I can create Mario levels for her to play, and then when she's passenger, she can do the same for me, and we can switch back and forth, right? That gives us something to do that's sort of with each other, but also independent. Na-na-na-na, independent. So I did that, and I did all the tutorials, and it took like 2 hours, because here's something I learned. I do not know how to design things that are fun video game wise. Going through the tutorials on Super Mario Maker taught me an important lesson, which is like, I know nothing about anything. I don't fucking know how they did this back in the day. Like, now it's at least simpler in terms of you can drag and drop stuff. Even just doing that, I can barely figure it out. You know, and then as you're going through the tutorial, it's like, notice how this level, which is from the original Super Mario, is designed this way. And like how they use coins to guide you, you know, over a long jump and stuff. And I was like, how the fuck did people invent, like, how the fuck did people invent this? This is like an entirely new thing that someone invented. I was very impressed. Never have a group of Japanese people or any people impressed me so much. I mean, it's like, I guess they went to the moon. But I mean, really, weren't they just fucking tied into a chair and they just hold on for the ride? I mean, I rode a roller coaster and got a concussion one time. Big fucking deal. So that was some entertainment. We listened to some podcasts, all that shit. And then we drove. We switched drivers. I drove. Now the cat, this whole time, we made a first stop and it was like, so Cassie, here's our roles as parents, cat parents. She is the disciplinarian. She's the, like, real parent. I am the fun uncle, but who's also doesn't understand enough about cats, you know, like, where I'm freaked the fuck out whenever. She was, like, gonna set out the litter box on the ground at, like, a gas station or something, or, you know, some rest stop, and, like, let the cat go in, and I was like, I don't think I could tolerate that because I'm too afraid she'll try and run away and succeed, and then she'll be, like, lost in the woods. And we'll be in the middle of Idaho or Oregon or something, and she'll just be gone. And I'll be like, what the fuck are we? Anyway, just the very thought of it. I've had multiple nightmares about the cat running away, and I'm like trying to chase her, and this is very unsuccessful. Anywho, so what we were trying to do is like set the litter box. You know, I would get out of the car. I basically stood in a Jimmy John's parking lot eating a sandwich while the cat was in the passenger seat, you know, and the litter box was there. Didn't want to go to the bathroom, though. She didn't want to eat or drink or anything. She didn't even want to come out of her carrier the second time we stopped. So we drove some more. And while I drove, I made a game of... Here's another tip I have for long drives. If you can, like, on my car, you can turn down all the dashboard shit, right? So you can barely see it. So if you don't need that shit, turn it off. Because, like, you don't fucking need this clock. Because believe me, it's not going fast enough. And Cassie has a GPS on her dashboard. And so I'm looking at it, and I ignored the time. I ignored the... what was good is I was like, I don't know if this thing's going to automatically change time zones or not. Because at some point, we were going to, you know, get an hour back. And I was thinking, all right, I'm just going to look at the predicted time and sort of try and chop that down, which was possible because all you have to do is speed. And you don't have to speed a ton. Because here's the thing. They tell you, like, in driver's ed, right? Like, speeding doesn't get you there faster. Which I'm like, well, according to anything I can think of, that's probably not true. But especially when you're driving, like, 20 hours of highway, speeding absolutely gets there faster. Do the math. This is not difficult math, right? Like, yeah, if I'm going 8 miles an hour faster for 20 hours, that's like a million hours faster. You travel back in time. But that's the thing, right? I felt like I was earning the time back because I'd watch it tick down, you know? But then we would stop for gas or something and I would lose it all again. Because you drive for a few hours and you only get, you know, 5 miles, 5 to 10 miles in an hour, right? So you drive for whatever, you get 30 miles, but then you stop for 15 minutes and then you're like, fuck. But I mean, we drove straight through, only stopped for gas. We made one stop at Tom, my writing teacher. His parents had a barn out there that they built that was like built for dances and stuff like that. And so we stopped out there because I just thought, let's take a look at it. And I mean, it is less than a mile off the highway. And it was the halfway point too. So I was like, all right, we'll get out, stretch, whatever. Cat peed in her carrier. It was sad. She starts meowing. Cassie's like, oh, she's wet. So we pull over and it was like a scene where, you know, you're changing the baby on a road trip. And you're just like, okay, this is cool. I'm holding the cat for a little while. And then something, I can't remember what happened, but she was like not having that. So she scratched me. I didn't even notice. I felt it, but I was like, eh, okay. And then we get to the place that night and I have this huge scratch down my chest. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But, you know, she just flipped out. She was not having it. After she peed herself, she sat on Cassie's lap for a few hours while I drove and was just, like, crouched down. Like, imagine the Sphinx, except its head is down between its paws and it's looking up at the sky in sheer terror. Just like, what is happening? I did have a small victory, though. We passed through Idaho, aforementioned. I got us some matching, what did they say? I heart Idaho, or Idaho is love, or something like that. Idaho is love, I think. It's like the outline of the state and said is love. Bought us some matching baseball hats. And I came out to the car and Cassie's like, I was wondering what was taking you so long. And she's like, I figured you were buying some bullshit. And I was like, yeah, that's what you do on a road trip. You buy ice creams you don't want. You buy hats you don't want. And when we moved, I think it was when we were in the house together and we moved into these apartments together, I had a shot glass collection, right? This is like what I was collecting as far as you go to a different place, you get a shot glass. I've since changed due to an incident where a bunch of my shot glasses got broken. You know, I dropped a bunch of shit. One of the ones that got broken, unfortunately, was a beloved Idaho shot glass that had a little ceramic potato inside with like a little hat and a mustache. And it was gone. And I was like, oh my God. Life is entropy in all things, huh? It was destroyed. And I was like, well, when am I ever going to be in Idaho? You know what I mean? And when am I ever going to find this? Well, it turns out you can just find it at some fucking gas station in Idaho. And turns out I was going to be in Idaho like a week ago. So there you go. And I got it. It was all good. So that was a plus. I will say the last 3 to 4 hours were pretty fucking painful. Like the last hour that I drove, I'm not kidding. I would look at the clock and it would be, you know, 9:36. And I'd be like, all right, cool. And, you know, I would try and, like, play these games with myself, right, where I'm like, I'm not going to look at the clock for 15 minutes. And I was trying to do this, and then I would look at the clock again, and guess what time? It's 9:36. I look away. I look back. At what time? If you said a time beyond 9:36, you are incorrect. It was still 9:36, to the point where, and this is partially because I was just going crazy from driving, I was like very close to asking Cassie, are you sure that the clock on your car is working? Because I'm not sure it's working. You know, and then I was like, no, you're just in that horrible zone right now. There's nothing to be done. just keep driving. So we made it. We made it in. I'm happy to report that the cat almost immediately was her normal self and also forgave us immediately. I think that when we arrived there, the cat thought that we were also kind of the victims of this as opposed to the perpetrators, which I was like, you know, it was just fucking, that's fine with me, you know, because she forgave us immediately. I was like, yes, yes, we also had no agency in this. Glad we survived all together, huh? Because that's how she reacted. So then, you know, I helped Cassie move in and stuff, and we unpacked some stuff, which was mostly her unpacking stuff. I feel like a sitcom dad at various moments in this trip, like, you know, when she's cleaning off the cat who peed on herself, they're both in the car and I'm standing outside the car, you know, because I'm like, I don't really know what to do. Like, there's not two people worth of stuff here. And the other thing is, Cassie is a person who has specific ways she likes to do things, right? And when I do them the wrong way, it's like very frustrating for her. Like, it's hard for her to watch me do things the wrong way, which I am not making air quotes again, because I do things the wrong way most of the time. But it's difficult for her to stand by and watch how stupid and terrible I am. And so when, you know, we're unpacking, I was like looking at stuff and like, hey, do you want me to do this? Or I could put this here. And she was kind of like, eh, you know, I don't know. And wanted to do it herself. Like, I hung up the shower curtains. I did some stuff like that. One thing I did was change out the cord on her dryer, because that just had to be done. I guess there's like basically two kinds of plugs that dryers get into the wall, and hers had the wrong one. So I switched it out, started it drying, everything's good, right? And it's in this tiny little closet. They had to take the door off the hinges when her and her dad were there to get the washer and dryer in there. So then we're like, cool, we'll put in some laundry and test it out. So we put in some laundry, and the washer, like, no water's going in. I'm like, what the fuck? And I look, and I'm like, oh, okay, I just got to turn these taps on in the wall. So everything's good. And then I'm standing in the kitchen, which is, like, where the laundry shit is. And the washer, you know, goes through a cycle, and then it's draining. And the hose on the back just pops off. And water is shooting out everywhere. I mean, this is like if you just basically turned on a hose, not full blast, but medium blast, in a closet and just kind of kept it going for like 5 straight minutes. So I like whip the garbage out of the trash can and I'm collecting water in the trash can, not realizing this trash can has two little holes in the bottom, which, by the way, garbage can manufacturers, no, I don't want that. I don't want that, because like inside trash in the kitchen, if something's going to be draining out of the garbage, I get where they're coming from, because they're like, well, if liquid gets in here, it'll just be in here forever. And I'm like, yeah, but if it gets in there now, it'll just be on the floor or like in the cabinet or wherever you keep the garbage. The point of the garbage can is to contain the garbage, not to air itself out. And if liquid gets in the bottom, I can rinse it out and then air it out. I live in an apartment and I'm still very capable and have done this many times. So anyway, it's draining, but then, you know, Cassie's got a couple other garbage cans. So we get all the water we can, but there's still probably like an inch of standing water, right? And she's like, oh, fuck. And it's like going under the wall into the bathroom and stuff. And she is freaked the fuck out. You know, she's not a happy camper. So we clean it up the best we can. And, you know, here's where good, like, here's where you want me on your team, right? Not just because you want an Idaho hat, but if you want an Idaho hat, I'm good for that too. I'm pretty good at, like, you know, you get in those situations and I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Like, okay, that happened. Now we'll fix it. And that's what we did. So we sop up all the water we can, you know, using our different clothes and shit. And then, I look at the back of the washer. Now, this involves, like, basically crawling over the washer and getting behind it in this closet. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I can't figure out how this hose is supposed to be on here. Because, like, it seems like it's just kind of stoink, stuck on the end, right? With nothing to sort of secure it. And I couldn't figure out why they would make it that way and so on. And so then I'm like, well, there's some clamps for the hose that kind of make it travel across, up and across the back of the washer. So I was like, all right, maybe it's because it's like it was on the floor and the water gathered in the hose and pulled it out. So it's like, let's try it again. I'm going to put it in these and we'll see what happens. So we try it again. Sure enough, it pops off the back. And I was like, fuck, you know, and I start filling a garbage can before my genius dumbass is like, oh, just hold the hose in there, you know. So we got a little more water on the floor, but nothing serious. So then we're like looking through the directions because Cassie is the kind of person, let me put it this way, when I'm like trying to help her unpack her place and stuff like that, she's the kind of person who has all the manuals to all of her appliances. She has the original box to a television that she purchased like 5 years ago. You know what I mean? She's got all of these things. She, before she moved, so she gave me her blender a while ago because she was never using it. And she's like, here's the box for the blender. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, yeah, I will definitely keep that too because I'm as responsible as you are. So then it's almost like it's, you know, sometimes a responsibility contest she's having with herself where I'm like, you know, nobody's competing with you in this realm, right? Like you're the only competitor on the field right now and you're still going balls out to do your very best. So then we can't find anything, right? And so finally we're doing that thing where I'm like, okay, here's one technique I learned at work and in life. I call it relentless Googling. Now, this is Googling where you're not just like page one, page two, page three. You're just like, I will continue Googling until I find something that satisfies me or something that convinces me that this doesn't exist. You know, so that would be like you do an image search for something. You do an image search for like Channing Tatum naked and you get like five things down and you're like, all right, this is like a Nazi goose-stepping swastika-laden skeleton with, you know, a beard. You're like, I think at this point, it's just Google's just like, I don't know, just give him some shit. Just, this is, I think, Google's way of tapping out, of saying, okay, I don't know what that is, you know what I mean? Or you see, like, a mugshot of some lady in Florida who, like, blew up her trailer while she was trying to cook crabs in meth or something like that. And that's, I think, Google's way of being like, I'm not going to quit. Like, I'm never going to give up because I'm a machine. But this is the best way I've got. My masters will not allow me to give up on a search. But this is the best way I've got to signal to you, like in Google Semaphore, I've given up. Like, I've got no moves left available to me. So once we got there, excuse me, I kept searching and searching, and I finally found a video where a guy is installing it. And he's got the tube that goes in the back, same washer, and he's like, make sure, if you get a new tube, that you take the clamp off the old tube and, attach it to the new tube. And I was like, there's no clamp in here. And they got a new tube at some point. I assume the old tube and the old clamp are still in Cassie's original Colorado apartment. So we're looking at this thing and I was like, this tube didn't come with a clamp, did it? And she's like, no. And I was like, why wouldn't this come with, we're both like agitating each other. Like, why wouldn't you include a 50-cent fucking clamp with this new tube? Cause how else would you know it needs a clamp? So we go to Home Depot and we get a clamp and I was like, let's buy two. Cause I just feel like there's a possibility I'll fuck this up. And, we're going through and she's like, I just want to ask someone who knows like if this would probably work, you know? And I was like, okay. So she asked this guy, and it's like a Home Depot-ass guy, you know, older dude, missing a crucial tooth. And she's like, would this probably work to hold, like, the water hose on the back of a washer? And he's like, oh, yeah, that'll work. And he's like, or, and he points to me, you could just have him sit there and hold the hose in. And I was like, oh, it's funny you mentioned that. Oh, we tried that, you know. Fortunately, she can't afford me to do that on the regular. Although I was like, I guess if I was going to be just like a stay-at-home cat dad gigolo, we could do that. That could be one of my duties, is like laundry, but, you know, not doing her laundry, because that's another thing she doesn't really want me to do. But, you know, she puts the laundry in and I hold the hose there. just sit there. So we put the clamp on, everything was good. So that was the disaster. You know, I feel like every one of these kind of cross-country moves has a disaster. That was the disaster, and I felt like it was pretty low-key. So that was good. And so then kind of the end of that is I left. So I was there from, we left on Tuesday morning. And I was there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and left on Sunday morning. And, you know, we did the thing at the airport where she, like, walked me through the security line and kind of got out of line at the last second. We're both crying a little bit. I heard someone be like, oh, that's cute. And I was like, oh, fuck off. Like, you don't know. How do you know? You don't know that this is cute. Maybe it's like I'm faking it because I don't care. I don't know. It's just like, you just don't want to overhear someone commenting on, like, your emotional scene, even though we're having it in public. I guess I felt like, hey, we don't have any choice but to have this, you know. I know public displays of affection, not really my thing, but there's really no other option here. And then I had to wonder, because like the last time we were in Portland for her job interview, I got fucking soaked before we got on the plane. This was a terrible trip for me in some ways, by the way, because like I was real mixed feelings, you know, because I was like, I kind of want her to get this job because she wants it. But like, I also don't want her to because I don't want her to move away. And then like, we're going back to the airport and I just got like completely drenched. There was like a 10 minute deluge and I got totally soaked, right? Like my pants, my shirt, everything. I was soaked, man. And if I'd been at the train station 10 minutes earlier, or if I'd stayed where I was 10 minutes longer, I would have been fine. But it was like where I was, there was no shelter, no nothing. So I just got soaked. And so as I'm going through security, I kind of dried out, but my pants were still super wet, right? And I go through the body scanner and they're like, what's going on? You know, and I was like, I got fucking soaked in the rain. And they like kind of, the guy was like, well, let's have you go through again and see if it works this time. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to dry out in the time it's going to take me to step back three steps and stand there. And I was like, I left little wet sock marks on the floor where I stood. I was like, okay. So, you know, I got a pat down and stuff, which was fine. I get it, right? I get it. But then I was a little bit like, okay, that was like an implausible seeming story to them, or like, they didn't really buy it when I was like, oh yeah, I got soaked in the rain in Portland, Oregon, where you probably noticed that it rained really hard like an hour and a half ago. But then this time I'm going through the line. I have a carry-on bag with me jammed with electronics. I've got a laptop. I've got recording equipment. I've got a Nintendo DS. You know, I was like, I have most of the things I own of any value are with me now, and they're not all typical. I don't think a lot of people are taking like audio recorders through the airport and shit, are they? But I was. But you know, and I was crying. I was like, now, if I was training someone to work airport security, and I was like, listen, when you see someone who seems to be in emotional distress, that should be a red flag. When you see someone with so much electronics in their bag that it's like they're having trouble getting through the airport, that's a bad sign. You know, just, I feel like I had 2 to 3 strikes here. And also I was sick. And I was just like, okay, maybe if I'd gotten a couple extra questions, I don't think I would have taken it personally. But turns out no. So someone crying with a bunch of extra electronic shit is fine. Somebody whose pants are wet from the rain, not fine. I don't get it. Anyway, and that's most of the story. I got back to the airport. I took a shuttle home. I just wanted to see, you know, how that worked. And I didn't have a car there. And like, I was so relieved because I get in the van and it's like this lady and her kid was up front. And I was like, I bet that she doesn't want her boss to know that she's got her kid in the car. But I was like, I'm fucking so happy because I didn't really feel like sitting up front and talking to this lady. It reminded me of like years and years ago when we first, it's funny because we did this like, you know, 20 questions podcast like 2 weeks ago. And that came from when I helped my brother move out to Arizona. And I took a shuttle from the wherever we were, Prescott, back to the airport. It was like a couple hours, I think. And the guy who picked me up was like, "You're the only rider, so go ahead and sit up front so we can talk," you know? And I was just like, oh, God damn it, you know? I was just looking forward to kind of like peacefully looking out the window and listening to my headphones, which is basically my default setting. But he wanted to chat the whole time. He was telling me about, you know, he's picked up Bruce Springsteen and he was like the nicest dude ever. And he's like, he's totally normal, totally down to earth. You'd never know. And he was like, I mean, look at this. He took the same shuttle from the airport that you're taking to the airport. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's a good point. I mean, how do you know that I'm not a shitbag? But you are correct. I am a shitbag. So I guess, you know, Bruce Springsteen taking the same shitbag shuttle, that's something. But I will say this. There's a project I've been working on, Pete's Unsent Love Letters, for like forever. I'm not really working on it right now. I'm working on getting it published in some way. And that's where it started. Because I had this idea of, it was basically someone who drove a shuttle and then talking about all the stories they had been told and stuff like that and all the things they'd learned about people. Because like, a shuttle driver is somebody you could probably, you know, confess to. And like, he's probably picked up a lot of people who are crying or like, you know, leaving someone they love or in town for a funeral or who the fuck knows. You know what I mean? And a shuttle driver is probably someone people feel comfortable confessing to. Because it's like, yeah, I'll probably never see this person again. I don't live here. You know what I mean? Like, for the most part, if someone's in a shuttle, they probably don't live there. You know, they don't know where I live. They don't know anything about me. They just knew to pick me up at this time. They know my name, and that's it. So that's, I started writing a thing like that. And the first probably three or four things, entries I wrote that would later turn into the love letters were that. And then it got difficult because I was like, this person wouldn't really know anything. He just has to kind of go off of what he finds out from people. You know what I mean? Which is tough. But nevertheless, that's where it started. So on the one hand, I didn't like it at the time. And I was happy that I didn't have to talk to her this time. But on the other hand, I guess it worked out for me. You know, who knows if that would have happened if not for that. All right, that was number one. That was task number one. And we're probably like a half hour in at least. So five things a day, that's a pretty good amount of shit. I wanted to say that, so one of the things I've been doing, because I, you know, I'm planning to move to Oregon, is I've been trying to make the move as easy as possible for me when it inevitably comes, right? And so one of the tasks I've been working on is reducing the amount of books that I have by either reading them or getting rid of ones I have read. And I went through everything and was like, all right, these are the ones I really want to keep regardless and all that stuff. So then I've been putting a lot. There's a little free library up the street from me at the university, which I gotta say has, at this point, is the best ass little free library ever, and probably the fucking weirdest one ever. I put in, if you listen to the Halloween episodes, the aforementioned header ended up in there. I was like, should I put this in there or not? And I was like, oh, fuck that. Put it in there. It's on like a college campus. It's not like it's outside of an elementary school, or there's another one in town outside of a church that I'm like, eee. But then it gave me this idea. I was like, I really want to buy a bunch of copies of Header, and whenever I come across a little free library, just stick it in there. Just be like, yeah, I'm going to just put these everywhere. I don't know why. I have this like vendetta against little free libraries. I guess I do know why. Imagine your profession, whatever you do, or like whatever you studied in school or something, and then you see people doing it on a super amateurish level. It's a little annoying, right? So anyway, little free library up the street is fucking badass right now. You're welcome. I'm making chili right now. This is part number three. So that was number two. We're going to just blow through these other ones. Number three is I'm making chili. I got this idea about making chili that I was like, you know, it would be funny Because a couple nights I've come into my apartment, most of the time I come into my apartment and it smells like outside of Greeley, which is a vaguely barnyard smell, to, you know, ranging from a vaguely barnyard smell to a completely barnyard smell. Or it'll smell like cigarettes or weed. I kind of put those in the same-ish category. Or it'll smell once in a while like laundry or really good food. A couple times this week it smelled like great food and I was like, who's doing that and why are they hurting me this way? Then I was thinking, this is going to be awesome because now I get to hurt people. And then I was like, I should just make garlic bread every day because it's probably the best smelling food ever. And everyone would just be like, I want to eat garlic bread. What motherfucker has garlic bread going? And I could just throw out loaves of garlic bread every night. Just like, eh, I don't even care about this. I'm just doing it to make it worse for you. There's like a certain terroristic element to living in an apartment that you could choose to engage in. You know, if you were of the right mindset. For example, I saw an out of order sign on one of the washer dryers in the apartment building, and it's like one of the good ones. So I was like, God damn it. And then I started thinking, you know, if I had to like go to work on Sunday, because Saturday, Sunday, washer dryers usually occupied most of the time. I was thinking, if I was going to come home and do my laundry, but it's always fucking full, right? I should just put a sign on it that says out of order and then take it off and throw my shit in there. No one's going to know who put the sign there. No one's going to address it between now and then. And then it'll remain empty. It's kind of like putting a construction cone in a parking space for yourself, right? And you're just like, well, no one's going to know who put it there. It'd be perfect. Because, you know, like the inter-apartment communication is not very strong here, which is good. So anyway, I don't know. I was vaguely considering it. And then I was just like, well, why? Like if when I can't put my laundry in, I just go like, fuck it. And then I surrender and go down to the basement laundry where usually there's an open machine. They're just shittier machines, dingier. I didn't even know there was a laundry on the third floor until the second time I moved in here, I think, and then I explored. Oh, the butt stuff. So I'm going to go get a pelvic MRI on Monday to make sure there's no, I don't know, whatever that checks for. I can't remember if I talked about this, but I doubt it. That my last appointment, so I went to a new doctor, and he was like, let's get you this MRI, and let's get you a test called a 3D decagography. Which is basically they shoot this stuff up in your butthole and you shit it out and it can tell if your sphincter is like round or if it's kind of like an irregular circle because of differences in the muscle strength. And that can fuck shit up. But he was like, in the meantime, you can just, after you go to the bathroom, just stick a cotton ball in there. And I must have given him a look because he's like, I'm not kidding. Like, that's, you know, what you could do. And I think I gave him a look too because I thought he was suggesting that as the long-term solution, which I was like, well, thank God I went to some doctors for a couple years to get like, just cram a cork in it, buddy. But he's like, you could put a cotton ball up there and then you'll just poop it out. So I haven't gone that way yet. I told Poon Master Flex this and she's like, well, hey, if it works, whatever. And she had a bunch of cotton balls and she got them. They're like these, you know, and on the bag, it's like extra large cotton ball. And I was like, I don't know if I want to cram, like, these are like the size of a marshmallow, probably. And I was like, look, I'm not trying to say like I've got some awesome tight butthole. And I don't know why I'd be bragging about that to you. And I don't know. I don't feel like I've got a lot of braggadocio when it comes to my butthole at this point. But, or ever, but at this, you know, I'm not like my turd cutters, like no one would believe. But I was like, I just, if I'm going to cram a cotton ball in my butthole, it's kind of like, it would be like this. Imagine you're having your first period and, you know, your boyfriend goes out to get you tampons and he's like extra huge, large tampon. And you're like, oh, thanks a lot. Like, wouldn't you want to start with like a medium or a small and be like, well, if that's adequate, then I'll stick with that rather than start with the extra large. I mean, it looked like I'd have to, it would be like, you know, when you're stuffing a sleeping bag into the stuff sack and it's like way too big for the sack and you're kind of like going around it in a circle, just cramming it in bit by bit until it's in there. That's what I feel like these would be like. Sitting on my coffee table. I'm like looking at them as I'm describing them. So that's happening on Monday. So we'll all let you know. Number five. I saw this thing today that some scientist. So I just bought a bunch of glitter because Santa Rampage is coming up. And there's a need for some glitter here. And I just saw this thing where, you know, it was like scientists calling for people to not use glitter because it's harmful to the environment. And I was just like, you know, scientists, I know you've got a lot of causes. I know there are a lot of things that are important. But I'm going to make a suggestion to you as a person and not a scientist. It seems like sometimes scientists have trouble communicating with the rest of us. You know what I mean? Like, scientists look at the world differently, right? And I respect that. But if you want to get your message across, I'm going to make some suggestion for you here. My suggestion is that you, like I did, take your priorities, put them all on a list, pick out five, and like, let's work on those five. And if glitter is in those top five, okay. But here's the other thing. I would consider prioritizing these things by saying, not only would this have a large impact, but this is something that isn't going to make people think that we're just a bunch of cranks who never got invited to parties. As a crank who never got invited to parties, I understand where you're coming from. But as a crank who never got invited to parties, so then just started throwing his own parties, go fuck yourself. It's like, don't use glitter on anything. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. That is crazy. And, you know, it's like, oh, it'll pollute the ocean. And then can you imagine an ocean full of glitter? And I'm like, yeah, it'd be fucking amazing. It would be the most beautiful thing. A waterfall that was glitter infested. That would be amazing. I'm into that. Okay, would fish be dead? Absolutely. You know, fish are not that hot. I don't know. Everyone talks about ocean life. And I'm like, ocean life is not that good looking. You got to hit those dolphins and those whales, man. Those are the only things we like in the sea. The rest of it looks like shit. Octopus, that looks like it's made out of genital warts. And just a bunch of them put together with like a main column and then a bunch of arms coming off. That, and then like was in a fire. I mean, that is not a good looking creature. And then they're like, did you know an octopus has a beak? And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I didn't think this was a horrible enough animal. I'm glad you added something to the terror. But like, just coming out against glitter is not a stance that you're going to be appreciated for. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Maybe use that time to work on something a little more. When we're doing pretty good, when it's like, oh, we figured out a way to get rid of like garbage. You know, not everything is wrapped in a bunch of fucking plastic you don't need. I don't get an Amazon package where the box is seven times the size of the item, right? Like, this would have fit in an envelope, and it's in like a box that could hold 12 beers and the packaging to make sure those beers didn't break. And then I open it, and I'm like, I kind of thought there's going to be like 12 beers in here. I mean, it was light, but I thought maybe it was like light beer. Maybe once we get some of that, you know, maybe continue fighting that battle where you try and convince people that climate change is real. Maybe figure out how to win that one. Then get into the glitter. You know what I mean? Get into the glitter. Maybe I misread and should have read further because maybe they were talking about that shitty Mariah Carey movie. Glitter is harmful to the environment. Like, why are we making these DVDs? Someone is printing DVDs of this movie that A, no one wants, and B, if they did, they could just watch it on fucking Netflix. Like, I'm sure whoever owns the rights to that movie would be like, I'll turn this over to Netflix for $80. Call it good. Boom. That's five things. We did it. All right, everybody. That means we're done for today. If we got our five things in, that's all we can really do, right? Have a great weekend. Have a great life, you know. Hopefully I'll have, like, you know, continued adventures to tell you about. I'm sure I will. This is the worst outro we've ever done. In a show of terrible, we've done 300 some outros, and this is the worst.